Oh, the Thompson Twins at about 11 past nine now on ABC Far North. And I don't want to get the hopes up of too many women, but let's be honest. How would you like to see a male contraceptive pill exist? So it wasn't just your responsibility within the context of contraception. Well, it's been a dream for decades, and not just for women, but for some men as well. And the good news, it is currently in development. It might still, though, be a way off being available. Dr. Saab Ventura is a senior lecturer in drug discovery biology. He works in the Faculty of Pharmacy and Pharmaceutical Science at Monash Uni, and he's with us now. Doctor, welcome on.
Thank you, Keir. Good morning.
It's good to be with you. So I don't want to get the hopes up of too many women at this point in time, Doctor. So how far away are we from seeing maybe having a male contraceptive pill on the market?
Well, it's funny you should say that, because there's a joke in the field that we always make that says that male contraception has been 10 years away for the last 50 years. So.
and another joke that goes along with that, that if it was, you know, women that were actually doing most of the scientific research, it would have happened years ago, Saab.
Yes, that's right, yes. That's another problem, is that most of the men who do the funding and do the work are your sort of 50-year-old males generally.
Yeah, gotcha. So what about you? When did you start becoming interested in it? How long have you spent on the work?
Well, this idea we've had, I probably started working on about 25 to 30 years ago. I've spent most of my career trying to do it and trying to get it going.
And why is it so difficult, Doctor?
Well, it's biologically more difficult mainly because women only make one egg per month, whereas men are making about 1,000 sperm per second. So there's a lot more that you've got to stop there. So that's part of the reason. But I wouldn't say that's the only reason, because it's really quite doable. It's more a question of how much money comes into it, and there doesn't appear to be enough money to get it going at this stage, all through the last 30, 40, 50 years.
So the jokes that we were just making, Doctor, actually do have some kind of, you know, systemic basis in truth, essentially.
Yes. We call them jokes, but they're really not that funny, and they're true to life.
Okay, so Doctor, tell us how it might work. I mean, I don't even really understand how the female contraceptive pill works. I mean, that's about hormones?
Yep. So they've tried hormonal contraception for men as well, but men don't seem to be able to tolerate it anywhere near as well as women do. So most of the strategies at the moment are trying to do non-hormonal strategies. So the one we use is we try to trap the sperm into where it's stored, so that normally it has to move to a different place to get ejaculated out of the body, and we stop that transport, we stop that movement, so that the sperm gets trapped at where it's normally stored and doesn't get ejaculated out of the body.
Okay, so what does it do then, Doctor? Where does it get reabsorbed into the body?
You can call me Saab, by the way.
Okay, Saab.
Well, yes, it just stays in the body. So the body's quite clever. If it's got a build-up of something that it makes, such as sperm, it just sort of stops making it, and then the old stuff gets slowly reabsorbed and recycled, and then it just makes new ones just in case it does need to go to work later on.
Got you. Okay. So, I mean, in the context of the female pill, as you say, it's about hormones. So what's the actual chemical process that's going on? Is it a particularly new thing that you've developed? Is it something that sort of has come from or a basis on something that already exists in the body?
Yeah. So normally, to move the sperm from where it's stored to where it needs to go to get ejaculated out of the body, you need a signal from the brain to tell a certain muscle to contract to move the sperm along. So that signal will still happen. What we're trying to do is stop the signal talking to the muscle, so that the muscle doesn't contract to move the sperm along, and it just stays there. It's a bit like passengers getting on an aeroplane. So we're stopping the passengers from getting on the aeroplane. The aeroplane still takes off, but there's no passengers on it.
Okay. So, Saab, the situation as far as, you know, having worked on it for this length of time, does it literally come down to just needing more funding to be able to, you know, get it happening in less than the 10-year joke that you said before?
Yes, it's all to do with funding, pretty much. So what we're at the stage of doing now is making a chemical that does what we want it in the body at a sufficient potency that it's not going to cause any harm anywhere else in the body. So we have a couple of chemists trying to make us chemicals. Then we have biologists trying to test whether that's good enough for what we want to do. But if we had more money, say if this was a pharmaceutical company doing this and they were really keen on it and they were pumping all their money into it, they'd probably have 50 chemists working on it. Mm. So we've got one or two, at any stage. That's the difference.
And so, Sab, I mean, the idea of there being, receptors that it would attach itself to, but then potentially, as you're saying, have the same effects maybe in other parts of the body that you don't want it to have those effects on. So what are those?
We predicted that would be mainly cardiovascular effects, so they would do things like lower blood pressure.
Right.
However, we've validated this idea in a genetically modified mouse where we genetically deleted the proteins or receptors that we want to modify. And the mice were still quite normal. They just weren't able to impregnate females.
Right.
And everything else was quite normal. So we don't think that there's going to be any side effects that are intolerable for men.
And look, in fact, I mean, you think there might even be a side effect of increased libido, which is, of course, the opposite to what the female pill does.
Yes, that's right. So the way our drugs worked is that one of the effects that they would have if they did anything to blood vessels, they would open them up or dilate them, which is what you want during erectile function. So that if anything, it would be beneficial rather than detrimental to sexual activity.
Yeah, and I mean, beneficial to society too, Sab, right?
Oh, absolutely. So, yeah, all around the world, there's probably about sort of 70, 80 million unintended pregnancies per year. And if you think about how much the population grows every year, if we have more contraceptive methods, then more options for couples, then we can stop all those unintended pregnancies and put a dent in global overpopulation.
Yeah, we're with Dr. Sab Ventura from Monash talking about the work that he's been doing for a long time trying to work out a male contraceptive pill. Can I track back to you talking about men not being able to cope with the hormonal stuff as well as women? What were the side effects of that? Because I know, as we talked about, decreased libido for women, I think weight gain, there's a few other things that can happen too.
Yeah, so that'd be kind of similar for men. It'd be emotional disturbances, so their sort of emotions would change, they'd get like a change in body configuration, so maybe a less manly type body shape.
What, we'd develop breasts or something?
Well, wouldn't say breasts, but, they might get a bit larger and, sort of might get a bit of fat depositing around the hip area, those sorts of things. And as soon as men see their body shape changing, it's just like, no, not doing that.
But that's so interesting, Sab, because, I mean, it's exactly the sort of side effects that women have had to deal with from it for years.
Well, as I say, yes, women are much more tolerable of those effects than men have been in any clinical trials. And I think it's probably to do with, obviously, a woman getting pregnant is affecting them more than it's affecting a man. So,
In being prepared to go through with it.
Well, it's the woman that's getting pregnant, it's not the man, even though men are starting to become more conscious of not wanting to make women pregnant, but it's still not affecting them as greatly as a woman.
Okay.
And I don't know. It's just women are just better at taking medicine than men all round, really.
Yeah, right. Well, they're better at many things, Sab. let's talk about just the willingness of men to take contraception as well. I mean, I know you're not, like a social researcher, but do you think there is that, just a feeling in most men that they'd be prepared to do it if it was available?
Yeah, I think that attitude has changed a lot in the last, say, 20 years. I think men are much more likely to take control of their contraceptive responsibilities now, especially young men, than people of my generation or our generation, let's say. So, yes, I think that attitude has changed a lot in the last 20 years. You ask young guys, like I've got a 22-year-old son, and, him and all his mates, they always say, oh, I'd be happy to take one if there was one available.
particularly if it didn't have the same side effects that it causes for women as well. I mean, I don't know if the women would be that happy about the increased libido necessarily, though, Sam.
Maybe not.
We'll cycle right back to the beginning again and just talk about that joke we made at the front about it being 10 years away. You know, how realistic is something being tested in human trials, particularly when you're stuck with just the two chemists?
Yeah, well, as I say, it's all to do with money. Like, we have to get lucky with the amount of money and the amount of people we've got to find a chemical that we want that'll be usable. So if we had a lot more money, we wouldn't need to be as lucky. It would just happen faster because we'd have more people on the job.
Okay. All right, Sab, that was an incredibly interesting chat. I cannot, I can't overstate that. That was really interesting. So thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, thanks for your interest.
No, I'm right back at you. So that's Sab Ventura there, senior lecturer in drug discovery biology. He works in the Faculty of Pharmacy at Monash University. And yes, that's right, women, we are talking about a male contraceptive pill. But as Sab said, the drug companies just don't seem to show the same amount of interest.